This is Wagner Live. If it's going on in business, he's talking about it. Real, raw, and direct. Let's do it.
This is Wagner Live, and this is Wagner Dos Santos.
The show. I'm your host, Wagner Dos Santos, and this is Wagner Live. And in this episode, we're going to discuss the reason why some businesses succeed while others fail. And if you're a part of the live video audience this evening, stick around because after the show, we are going to conduct some Q&A. So after the very closing of the show, don't be alarmed that we will be closing it for the podcast recording, but I will be opening it up for the live viewing audience for Q&A. So welcome everyone to the show, and we're going to go ahead and get started. So this is a topic that I have addressed a few times in my career, more than a few times, I would say. And it's a topic that is extremely important, not just in the past, entrepreneurs looking to break into business and to figure out their, or to assess their risk, but so much so today when you look at figures showing that there are so many startups that are cropping up every day practically today, and you find that entrepreneurship is on the rise. There are incubator programs that are helping to create more startups and more companies. You have co-working labs that are incentivizing people to go out on their own, but also have an opportunity for collaboration. And the climate has never been better today to do that. And it's important as people venture into their first or second or third, or who knows, maybe fourth new business opportunity, that there's a clear understanding of the risk involved and understanding why it is that there are so many failures out there. And I know that a lot of business people and others entering business have heard several quotes and several stories from very successful entrepreneurs, such as one of my favorites and someone I admire quite a bit, Richard Branson from Virgin. And you hear these stories about how they failed multiple times until they succeeded. And in Richard Branson's case, he even speaks of failing even after success with Virgin. And you may remember he had invented, or the company had invented, Virgin Cola and a variety of different Virgin offshoots, many of which failed. And so being successful means, to a large part, being not being adverse to risk. So I'd like to kind of start out with this thought, okay? According to Bloomberg, 8 out of 10 entrepreneurs who start businesses fail within the first 18 months. That's a whopping 80% crash and burn. Crazy when you think about it. Just let that kind of marinate a little bit. 8 out of 10 entrepreneurs who start businesses fail within the first 18 months. It's huge, and it's very scary when you look at that. And you know, I remember when I was in the record business many moons ago, when they were called records. Remember that? And a lot of people would tell artists that were trying to break into the business that, oh, it's very risky and most people don't make it. And I noticed, as an A&R person, I was, so A&R, for those of you that know, artists and repertoire, those individuals who go out and sign artists, And I noticed firsthand that the artists that made it were the ones that persevered, the ones that understood all the risk, but they persevered anyway. They continued, they worked jobs that they didn't really like that much. They had to endure some difficult times, but they persevered and finally they made it. It might have taken a few years, might have taken a decade, but they finally made it. Now, that's not always the case. There's a variety of factors why some people may not succeed in any capacity, but in a large amount, I did see so many artists succeed when they were willing to take the risk and persevere. So I think that applies in a great way, I think, with entrepreneurship. So I want to go through some of the top reasons that have been cited. And this came from a few different business sources, but a few reasons that are cited for why businesses fail. So I'm going to start with reason number one. Reason number one, not really in touch with customers through deep dialogue. That's a big one, because we talk today quite a bit in marketing that brands, businesses need to develop relationships with their consumer and with their intended audience. So those that are able to really connect in a deep and meaningful way are more likely to have a strong business and a customer that will advocate and evangelize their message. So reason number one, not really being in touch with customers through deep dialogue. I think it's important for that aspect. It's also important because today products, services, brands, businesses really need to serve the customer, not necessarily create something. And you know, there's exceptions to the rule. So I know some people may comment later saying there are some exceptions here, but in a great way, put it this way, businesses really need to create something that is serving a demand. There's a need, there's a want, and really they need to find a way to connect the dots more so than try to take a risk into a new territory with unknowns of whether or not people need or even desire this. There's enough interest and need for a variety of different areas that businesses can tap into. So being able to do that successfully is another way that brands can show that they are in touch with their customers. So that's number one. Number two, and also a really big one, is no real differentiation in the market and a lack of a unique value proposition. There's a lot of products and services that overlap. And I was just talking to someone the other day about this over some drinks, and we were talking about what sets a company apart. And at the end of the day, it has a lot to do with the relationship that you have and the perceived relationship, the actual relationship, what you deliver above and beyond your scope of work and the deliverables that your customer has purchased or signed up for. It's that those extra things, the extra mile that you go, the phone call over the weekend, the drive to a customer's house to make sure that the order gets into their hands when they need it and is undamaged. So a lot of things like that that are the extra steps that cause a customer to be loyal or advocate for one brand, products, or service versus another. So differentiation is really huge. And a lot of the differentiation that succeeds today is related to those extra things. So number three kind of ties into that really well, which is failure to communicate value propositions in clear, concise, and compelling fashion. So having a unique value proposition, selling proposition, and differentiation is great, but only if you can communicate it. If you're having trouble clearly communicating in a way that others can understand, you may know what your value proposition is. It may be compelling to you, but how do you communicate it in a voice, in a tone, that in a language that your intended audience understands? So that's huge, and that's a big part of branding, and a topic that we'll talk about more in a future episode. So those are the top three. Now, number four would be leadership breakdown at the top. So otherwise known as founder dysfunction. There is nothing that destroys a company more, and man, I've seen it more often than I would like, but it's when there is dysfunction from the very top, and then it finds its way all the way through the organization. A CEO that doesn't know how to manage people, or a CEO that is toxic, a variety of things that the CEO could be doing wrong, either consciously or not. Those kind of things really affect the culture and the environment of the company, and it can really be detrimental and kill a company. Again, bringing up Richard Branson as an example, Richard is known to be such a compassionate, caring, just a wonderful CEO to lead teams and allow them to be what he calls intrapreneurs, or entrepreneurs, where each individual is their own entrepreneur. He gives them the tools and resources so they can grow, develop ideas, and essentially cultivate that and incubate that for the company. And he's not a micromanager. That's a big thing with a lot of CEOs and upper management individuals that have never had proper management training and don't fully understand what their role is as a C-level executive or manager of people, that it's not to police the individuals that you have in your team, but it's to empower them, give them the tools that they need to grow. And that's very important. And I'm a big believer that not everyone has the talent, perhaps, to lead. It certainly can be learned, but it's a bit of a talent and a bit of a calling, I think. And more often than not, you see a lot of individuals that wanted to start a business. They started it small, and it started growing. Might not even have been their dream or their goal to grow a large company, but that's what ended up happening, because they kept taking in business and they grew more manpower to accommodate the business. And then they found themselves managing people and having teams and departments, but not knowing how to really manage and hurting the company in the long run. Now, there are some great executive coaches and companies that specialize in creating, cultivating corporate teams. And it would be great to see more C-level executives take advantage of those, so that if they don't know or haven't had the experience in managing teams and knowing how to cultivate teams, that they can learn that. So that's a very big one. And it does hurt so many companies every day. So here's some other interesting facts about businesses and entrepreneurship that I think you'd probably be interested in knowing. So did you know that if a VC firm typically has a choice between a new entrepreneur or one that is tried and true, that they'll go with the new entrepreneur every time? So a new entrepreneur also represents one that may have failed multiple times in the past, but as a new entrepreneur with a new venture, they are more likely to receive funding than the successful entrepreneur that's been in business for many years. So it's strange, right? But very true. Another interesting one would be, let's see here. I would say Well, where do most entrepreneurs get their ideas from? I think some of you might be able to guess, right? From former employers. That's another one. And then I want to go through also some of the other issues that I would imagine some of you listening and watching here may have encountered and would be areas to take caution with. One is poor cash flow. That's something we didn't talk about before. Now, cash flow is the lifeblood of your business. It is. And without it, you just can't survive. So making sure that you're balancing your expenses and collecting unpaid invoices on a time basis is extremely important. That is also another area, in addition to some of the others I mentioned, that can really affect the success or hinder the success of a company, is not being able to manage your cash flow. And that's probably one of the most difficult things, certainly within the first couple years of starting a company. Also lack of planning. So having a business plan, having a marketing plan, very important. Having a plan, even if, you know, I know that there are a lot of people who start companies that say, I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. I'm just by myself. I can't invest in building a plan. I need to bring in money right away. You can go ahead and start even with an outline, a framework of a business plan. Having some kind of a plan is better than no plan. So I can't stress that enough, that it's very important that one has a very good roadmap for success. Lack of insurance is a big one too. There's a lot of need today for a variety of different policies, everything from E&O to general liability. And depending on the type of contract work you do, if you're responding to government RFPs, then they have a whole slew of insurance coverages that they require. So being able to have the basics and then being able to scale up as needed is really important. And also no performance monitoring. There should always be within that business plan, and also as part of active operations, a process of which the performance is monitored, tracked, measured, extremely important. And another one that I'll throw out there is an insufficient knowledge of the market. There are a lot of businesses that get involved with a new territory and an area based on a hunch, based on intuition, and they didn't really invest in intel on the market or research and key insight with the marketplace, and as a result, failed. And extremely important, you have to know your market, you have to know your audience, and as I said early in the program, you really need to create a business that is serving a need, an existing need and a want out there, and then finding ways to connect the dots with that audience and making sure that you have a unique differentiator and value proposition that is clearly communicated to them. That alone right there is a big part of initial success. There's so much more, but last but not least, I would say another one would be probably poor management structure. So there's a few of these that I could go through, but you know, I would say that poor management structure is a big one. We talked earlier about CEOs or managers that are not good managers and do not have the skills perhaps or experience to manage people, or they breed toxicity. Having a poor management structure can also negatively impact a company. Not having a well-planned structure that supports all the different areas and functions of your company could cause areas to break. I look at management structure and the hierarchy of management much like the framework of a building or or of a house when you're doing framing and setting up the structure, that the house and the building is secure because it's framed correctly, it's measured and balanced correctly, and every area has the proper balance and support that it needs so that it can grow. And I believe that management, proper management, should also do that in order to help a company grow. So so last but not least, to kind of summarize all of this, taking a risk, and I put out a quote today about this for some of you that may have seen that that risk is really an important pathway towards success. And without risk, and without being able to take that path of risk, success realization is practically impossible. So don't be afraid to take risk, because it's those that are willing to take the risk, that persevere and are able to still go through it when others are telling them that they're not going to be successful, or be careful, that not everyone can succeed in this area, that those that can persevere and can stay faithful, they will succeed. And making sure that you take some of what I talked about today and apply that to the way that you build your business, and keep on a very well structured plan, you will realize success for sure. So that's it for our show today. And thank you so much for joining me live, watching the replay, and of course, listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. And be sure to use hashtag Wagner Live, that's WAGNER Live, to send me your feedback and also to communicate with the show. Also, be sure to visit WagnerBranding.com for replays, my blog posts, and a lot more. So until next time, this is Wagner.
You've been listening to Wagner Live.
Wagner is an advertising agency executive, and it's his passion to talk about business without the fluff and blowing smoke. Having owned and operated several different businesses since the age of 17, and with 20 years of experience in advertising and marketing,
he may be just a tad bit qualified.
We hope you enjoyed the show. Catch him on social media at Wagner Live and hit the website at Wagner.live. We'll see you again next week.